in your hands. So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? We'll squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
What happens when a man goes through his own portal?
Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
Up the airy mountain, down the rushing glen, they dare not go a-hunting for fear of little men. You see, nobody ever goes in. Nobody ever comes out.
You're all a bunch of slaves! How long do you think it's gonna last? How long are you gonna let them push you around? I tell you this, I'm gonna get my kicks before the whole shithouse goes up in flames.
Welcome, Al Care Boy, gentlemen.
Off with their heads!
Welcome to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. It's Monday evening, Eastern Time, 8 p.m. that is, and it is time for the Fenton Perspective with Lori and Fenton.
Welcome, everyone. everyone, to the Fenton Perspective here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I am really happy to have you guys here with me today. I've got breaking news that is going to be scooped by everybody in an hour, but thank God Michael is with us. Michael W. Hall is with us today. He's an attorney out of the Seattle area, and he has been... it's a controversy, let's just put it that way, but it's not that much of a controversy because we're going to straighten it all out today. The Core Secrets UFO transcript that's been flying around the internet in the last 24 to 48 hours that everybody's reading right now, it's a leaked document, and Michael W. Hall, JD, is going to tell us all about how this happened and where it came from, what it's all about, and we'll go from there. Michael, are you with me?
Lorian, I am here, and how are you doing? Have you gotten any sleep at all Thursday
night?
I
didn't get any sleep, but the reason why is because I had something else I was working on, and then this plopped in my lap at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Melinda Leslie calls me and goes, you've got to pay attention to these documents. Now, I swear to God, Michael, I didn't know anything about it till 1 o'clock in the morning, and after you told me yesterday in Skype chat that you had something breaking about some documents and what have you, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine, whatever. I paid no attention because I was too busy. And I'll tell you, the other thing that happened, I'm going to announce it here today on the show. Saturday afternoon, I got a text from Peggy Brown, Peggy Davidson out of Dallas, and Jimmy Brown, Madeline Brown's son, not by LBJ, died on Saturday afternoon, and I've been pretty much wrecked by that. So it wasn't that I wasn't paying attention to ufology, it's just that I had some very close friends I was dealing with in Dallas because of my JFK associations, and I've got to send out an email tonight to the whole JFK community to tell them that of Jimmy's passing, and I've just got a whole lot of things to do around that. So I was preoccupied. So there you go. So explain to me what's going on. I've had time to watch the Richard Dolan video when I got home last night from work at about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I just got the transcript emailed to me by somebody, and I'm trying to get through it. And to be frank, everybody, it's nothing I didn't really already kind of know about. And so I'm not jumping off the cliff going, oh, this is the best thing since sliced bread. But Michael's got me convinced it is. So I want to hear, and I'm jaded. So just remember that, folks. I'm very, very jaded. I've known that UFOs are here and aliens are here for so long that I still wonder why anybody even questions it. But having leaked documents like this does help our cause quite a bit, doesn't it, Michael?
Oh, it does. Lorian, this is going to be anything new for you. This is going to be something that you can hold out as confirmation for things that you've been talking about for years, literally.
Exactly.
That's how valuable it is going to be to ufology. Matter of fact, Richard Dolan did an excellent job of analyzing this thing on his podcast on Saturday.
He did.
It was amazing how he was able to get through that entire document, hit all the salient points, and be coherent at the time, knowing that he's probably was up for 48 hours studying the thing before he actually went on the air. So kudos to Richard for what he did. And by the way, before I even start, I think we need to acknowledge the fact that there are some heroes in this document that need to get their place in history and not be mad necessarily that they've been outed, but give them all the adoration that they deserve. Admiral Thomas R. Wilson is the subject matter, the person that's talking in this memo, this 15-page transcript. But then you've got Dr. Eric Davis, who was the person who set up the interview and was dogged enough to find Admiral Wilson and to interview him about all of these fascinating conversations, confirmations, actually, that Richard Dolan is calling basically the leaked transcript of the century, or the leaked document of the century. So that's how important this thing is. It's
correct. Remarkable. I agree. And I just want to say one quick thing. Where can people go to see the document as we talk about it today?
Okay. Well, here's the deal. If you can find it on Twitter at the IMGUR website, or that Amger put it up on Twitter on Thursday night at about 7:53 Pacific Standard Time. But it's very difficult to read and or download. So that's part of the story that I have on how I got it off Twitter to get it to Richard Dolan and all the folks out there that I sent it to. So they can also go to my Facebook page and find it there, because I was literally up till about 4:30 in the morning creating the documents in a readable format that they can find on UFO I-Team on Facebook. I with a lowercase I, UFO I-Team. Now they can go to that, or they can go to Michael W. Hall, the paranormal lawyer, on Facebook, either way.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so let's start breaking this down. How did this all come about? Then we'll get into the document. So go ahead and tell me the story behind the story.
All right. Well, the story behind the story starts way back at the last part of last year. That Grant Cameron was actually my client, of course, and I have quite a few ufologists as clients who have I've been working with over the years. I've been Peter Davenport's attorney for 25 years, Dr. Richard Haynes, Dr. James Harder, even back in the old days.
Oh, wonderful.
I've been around a while. I've been helping folks out in this field and been interested in my whole career as well. But around the end of the last year, Grant Cameron was appearing at a major UFO conference. And, of course, as he always does, he gets approached by people that say, hey, I've got a document I'd like you to take a look at for me. And Grant, of course, was very nice, like he always is. And he says, well, you know, I don't have time right now because I'm about ready to jump on another flight early in the morning to get out here to another conference. But if you can email it to me or whatever you can do, please do. And he gave him the contact info. So this gentleman furiously works all night long to get the documents in a format that he could actually show Grant Cameron these documents rather than to get it to him by email. So in the morning, he meets Grant, runs into him in the lobby of the hotel before he's about ready to get on a shuttle and fly out of town. He shows Grant on his small little laptop the very first page of this leaked document, which are notes from Dr. Eric Davis, and they're in a chronological transcript format. Grant's face goes ashen, he says, immediately. He looks at the first page of this document, and he goes, where did you get this? That started his rabbit hole journey at that point for Grant. And so what happened was very shortly thereafter, in my case specifically, January 2nd, I get a cryptic text from Grant, which is actually an encrypted text. I've never had anybody send me an encryption text.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going, holy mackerel, do I even open this up? I don't even know what it is, right? So I had to open it up, and sure enough, it's Grant. And he's going, Michael, I have a situation. I am about to drop a major UFO bomb, is what he says. And I need to run it by you as the paranormal lawyer. That's it. That's all he said. You know how cryptic he can be.
I know, Grant. I've known him we both have known him for at least a decade or longer. And I'm telling you, the guy is short on words when he's communicating.
I think that's how he gets everything done. I mean, the guy.
I know. But he's verbose when he speaks. Thank God. There you go.
Here's what happened, Lorian. For the next 9 days, I don't hear a word from the guy.
Of course. I'm
thinking, oh, my God. This was his last email, last text he could get out, and they offed him in interim. They got him. And I'm going, oh, no. I mean, I'm trying emails, voicemails. I'm trying everything I possibly can.
Right.
Man, get a hold of me, please. I'm here, whatever you need. Finally, he gets a hold of me 11 days later, and we start the process from that point in mid-January till this exact before Thursday, strategizing on what to do with this document. You have no idea what you do.
I do, because I'll tell you what, I saw you guys in February down in LA, and yeah. I and Grant alluded to this, and of course, and you did too. And I'm standing there going, "Yeah, so what?" I basically, I didn't even care after you guys told me. I was like, "Oh, okay, who cares?"
Yeah,
I didn't even push it. I usually push stuff like with Grant. I'll go, "Oh, come on, tell me what you're doing," you know, and I'll push him into at least giving me more information. But when he said I have this document, I went, "Oh, yeah, right." Like everybody's got a document, you know. But yeah, go ahead. I just wanted people to know how much I cared at the time, right?
Yeah.
But I do now. So go ahead.
So anyway, we are, as attorney and client now, going over the ramifications of this document and how to release it, whether to release it, mm-hmm. and what to do with it. So obviously, first of all, let's clarify, this is not a classified document. Grant will be the first one to tell you.
It is not.
Someone comes up to Grant Cameron and says, "Hey, I have a classified document that I need to show you, or that I want to leak out." He'll say, "Well, why aren't you in jail?" I mean, that is impossible to do with a classified document. But
that
this
is correct. Yep.
A transcript. This is private notes from a scientist talking to a high-ranking admiral in the Navy, who just happens to be, by the way, at this time, J2 level, Joint Chiefs of Staff in charge of all the intelligence divisions of all the military. So this guy knows exactly what's going on, supposedly, and it's private conversations, basically, that's been transcribed by Dr. Davis. So at this point, we're trying to figure out how to do it, when to do it. And at one point, Grant goes, "Well, I don't know if I can do it yet." So I came up with the idea. "Grant, this is what we can do." I created for Grant what I call a disclosure trust. I've been an estate planning attorney as well for over 30 years. I have developed a whistleblower, what I call disclosure trust, where people can put documents, artifacts, information into a trust, name a successor trustee, and disclose the information at a future date in time or upon their death. So I said, "Grant, we'll put this in a trust. Then you're in control of the 15-page document, by the way, of all this detail, and you tell me when and if you want it to be released." So we were still doing that. It was in the document. And we're working on the process. Of course, I had come on various other shows and kind of hinted around what the document said and all of that. But Grant didn't have he didn't give me the authority to release it yet, when all of a sudden, on Thursday, out of the blue, I get a text from one of my other clients who's in the know and says, "It's about to happen." And I'm going, "You're kidding." And sure enough, it did. And then that was Thursday night. And I was up all Thursday night trying to get this document off of Twitter. And I don't know if you...
Okay, now let me pause you for 1 second.
Yeah.
Are you saying that the guy that gave it to Grant actually started leaking it because he got impatient? Is that what we're looking at here?
No.
Okay. I want to make sure that's really clear to everybody. Second, is it the guy that got an envelope on his car back east, the bald dude, I can't remember his name for the life of me, that said he got an envelope put on his car by some guy walking by and he saw him leave it on his car? Is that the contents as well? Did he get the same document that you got, that Grant got?
I've heard that story, but I don't know what the contents are of this envelope that this guy had. I have heard that story.
Right. I'm just wondering if he got the same documents and if he leaked them. Okay. Yeah. So I'm running down avenues here of things I know about, but go ahead. So you know who leaked them?
That's your legal mind. I like that. So now here's the deal. I do not know who leaked them. I have a sneaking suspicion that this came from a green light from the Pentagon level. That's what I'm thinking. That's
really
my bottom line on who leaked the documents.
So you're telling me that Eric Davis actually put them out there before anybody else could?
I don't know, but that's a possibility. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think that he would have done that. And I'll tell you why. Because,
okay,
of course, Dr. Davis is involved with the TPSA, right? TPSA
right.
is in the middle of a major series on History Channel, of course, unidentified. And I'll tell you what, any release of this document that they would know about would totally undermine, upstage their entire four remaining episodes. Let's put it that way.
Well, so, that's true. But only in the UFO community. See, now, this is very important. I have decided that anybody, me, Grant, Melinda, all of us gangs that hang out at all these conferences that have been doing research for 40 plus years that know what's really going on, we're so far and few between. I don't think the guys at TTSA even care about us, to be honest with you. Because they're going towards, we're 100,000 strong, okay, maybe 50,000 strong, I don't know, whatever we are. And they're trying to get to the, 20 million or 30 million that are going to watch the show. They could care less about us. That's my opinion. I don't know, but that's where I'm at. So if Davis did leak them himself, it's just a nugget for us to keep us out of attacking TTSA, I think. To say, okay, you guys, you got your truth now. Okay, just sit back and enjoy the show. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. But, hey, what do I know? So, there you go.
Well, all I'm saying is a possibility, but I don't know. I have no clue of who released the document. But let me tell you the story of how I got the document to Richard Dolan, because I think that's interesting. Because Richard was the one who came out and said that I released the document, during his podcast. And God bless him. He did an amazing job on that podcast. And I think he ought to be applauded like big time, if not the ufologist of the year at one point for doing what he did. But what happened was at about, I was trying at about midnight to get this document off of Twitter, because I'm thinking to myself, this thing is going to disappear. It's either going to disappear or it's going to be very difficult to get downloaded if I don't get this thing off in some kind of format that we can, share it around.
Right.
So I'm trying everything I possibly can. Now, what happened was whenever I try to download and do a screenshot or download the document, all these pop-up ads were covering the text of the document. Geez. And I'm going, oh my God, how do I do this? This is impossible. I'm a pretty techie guy, but this stuff was very confusing. Finally, about 2 hours later, I get it in a clear, full page, document form that I can start loading it up. And I try to load it up to Facebook. I've got multiple Facebook pages that I am a admin on. And when I tried to put it up to the UFO iTeam Facebook page at about 3 in the morning, a.m., that would be Friday morning, basically, the 7th, the pages were blurred. They were totally clear when I started the document, but when I uploaded them, there is something embedded in the document that will not allow it to be transferred easily to other social media. So here, you're going to love this, Lauren. So
okay.
I ended up, for the next 2 hours, creating a 30-minute film on iMovie where I'm scrolling through every 15 page of the document slow enough so people can read it and putting it up in a movie with music. I had to put music. It was already on the thing there. And that was the only way that I could get it in a readable form. So finally, I have the document now that I can send it around. I'm sending it to the universe, obviously. And I send it to Richard at about probably 3:30 a.m. Or maybe even 4 a.m. that morning.
Now, that's Friday, correct? Or
that's
Saturday?
Friday morning.
Friday morning, no, okay.
Oh, Friday morning, yeah. Early, a.m. So I'm assuming this is what happened with Richard. He opens up his email early in the morning or whenever he gets up, and he sees this document from me in a movie. and he looks down at the bottom of the movie, down at the bottom of the document. And I loaded on my little normal attorney, copyright notice at the very bottom.
Right.
Michael W.
Right.
That kind of thing. And so he goes, oh, he released the document. That's him. And so that's what the announcement was on the thing. But obviously, I then spent the next 24 hours sending out my disclaimer caveat that no, I didn't release the document. I distributed the document to as many people as I possibly could in a readable format. So that's my story on how I got the document out. But of course, it had already been released on Twitter by someone we do not know.
Wow. Yeah, that's very intriguing. To me, I want to find out who released the document more than I care about what's in the document, because honestly, I pretty much knew all of it anyhow. So, yeah. And thanks to you, Grant, and Melinda, I know these things, and a couple other people that have been doing research basically on who's running the show. And that's what I call it. It's called Who's Running the Show for Lorien. And Melinda has a great presentation. And oh, by the way, folks, Melinda Leslie will be my guest in the second hour because Michael has to leave us. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what Melinda has to say about this, considering she has done a presentation regarding all these people, you know, Bigelow, Davis, Putoff, blah, 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 the list goes on and on. And so she has a different view on it, and so do I, because we've known this stuff's going on. And I'll give you an example, Michael. I'm at an event. I can't even tell you what event I'm at. I'm standing there with one of these guys out of what we call the, you know, the Cosmic 100. Okay, that Grant dubbed them. And these are all the guys running the show right now. And one of them, we got on a conversation about something, and one of them says to me, we were talking about the big black triangle I saw. And he nonchalantly looks over at me and says, ours or theirs? And I said, oh, it was ours. And he goes, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. And then he pays attention to somebody else. But in that moment, I got total confirmation from this dude that everything is real, everything I do, everything I see is absolutely real. And we do have an ours or them, okay?
Yeah.
And that was just, at that point, there were no more, I didn't even have to question anything anymore at that point. Because when one of those guys, one of the top 100 dudes in the country that know what's going on, says to you that statement, he's giving you your answer to the Holy Grail.
You got it.
And he did that, and it was so kind of him to do that for me, because at that point, I stopped even wondering. You know, then right. I knew. I mean, I've always known, but there's always this nagging doubt that they're playing you.
Oh, yeah.
And that nagging doubt went away in a fraction of a second, and then I knew I was in the big boys league, because at that point, when you actually know, then I've got to be responsible for everything that comes out of my radio show to have it be somewhat as much factual as I can, because I know it's real.
Yeah.
No, so, right. Yeah. That's- so it changes the game. And I don't think people understand that Michael, Grant, Melinda, myself, and I could name off a handful of other people in this community really pay attention to that Cosmic 100, because without those guys' confirmation about everything that's going on, we don't really have a leg to stand on. And now TTSA has come into the picture, and they're part of that team. And it's very interesting to watch them unfold the situation. So anyhow, I've gone off on a tangent, but I'm just trying to explain to people why I was nonpulsed about it. But I am very excited about some of the content. So why don't we get to some of the content here and go through the pages if we can. We've got a half hour, so let's see what kind of damage we can do.
We can zip through this thing here. And by the way, this document basically is, it seems to me, by the way, and I could be wrong, but it seems to be actually recorded on a device, probably a small digital recorder, and then turned into a transcript shortly thereafter the meeting, because it is so detail-oriented in as far as the transcript goes. It would be very difficult for anybody to come up with the detail in a transcript from their memory of an hour and 10-minute meeting, by the way, with the Admiral, in the back seat of his own staff car, behind the EG&G building, Special Projects building in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's where the conversation
the
took
Jane
place.
The plane guys, the guys who cleared and hired Bob Bigelow and paid his paycheck. Yeah, not Bob Bigelow, Bob Lazar, Robert Lazar. Yeah.
By the way, this memo, this transcript. If I was Bob Lazar, if I was Stephen Greer, if I was Edgar Mitchell and still alive, I would be totally gloating by now with the information that seems to confirm all of their stories.
That's right.
That is amazing. First of all, I want to give the shout out to these two high-ranking military and scientific people, Admiral Thomas R. Wilson and Dr. Eric Davis, for being the heroes, basically, of this transcript. Now, people don't really, you know, our community always going picking at them, you know, and going, what is this? What is that? These guys literally, Eric Davis was the guy who tracked down Admiral Wilson and got the information that he knew about UFOs, Roswell, aliens, craft that can travel through space, our atmosphere, underwater, and potentially through dimensions. I mean, that's all in this document. And
that's right. And that's, isn't that what we've been saying all along? So thank you, Eric. And I just, and appreciate Wilson. Wilson's no longer with us, is he?
He's still alive. Yes.
He's still alive? Oh, for some reason, I thought he was not with us anymore. Well, my hat's off to both of them. You know, Eric has always proven to be a friend of our community. And, you know, sadly, I hope he doesn't get any trouble for this leaking. I'm concerned about that, to be honest with you. And I hope he's okay. Let's just throw that out there.
And I do, too. But I do think, by the way, that this is a planned leak. I have not found anybody in the UFO community that I can get to that will admit to this thing being leaked by them. So I'm thinking that this is controlled leak, as far as Richard Dolan says, controlled disclosure for some reason.
Right. Anyway, and it may be just for, you know, all of us, you know, the UFO community that really do their research. It may be for us because, frankly, how many other people are going to pay attention to it? You know, seriously.
That's going to be the question, Lorian. Is what's going to happen tomorrow. This is the very first day of the full week of major disclosure, probably in the last century, about UFOs. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of legs this has and whether the mainstream media is willing to talk about it.
Yeah. And here's the final problem with this, and it's not a big problem, it's just a small problem, I believe, because I do think this document's real. Have you been able to verify its authenticity? Because, see, that's the problem. Eric Davis needs to come out and say, or Admiral Wilson, that this is absolutely what happened, and I stand by it, you know?
Yeah.
That's our next step, I would think. Don't you?
Well, exactly. But I doubt that they will do that. That would be very surprising for me. But I am going to defer to Richard Dolan, the historian on this whole matter, because he has basically stated in his podcast that this is a blockbuster document, so detailed and oriented that it names names and programs and dates and times that it's going to be very difficult to debunk. And so
that's true.
His analysis is that this is the real deal, and this is going to start the process of discussion. Now, the bottom line of this whole thing, let's just get to that, is that there is revealed in this document a secret cabal that is in charge of all of these reverse engineering programs, alien reproduction vehicles, and all of that, that is a civilian contracting kind of issue that does not have government congressional or even military oversight. That's the real kicker in this document, is that Admiral Wilson tells Dr. Davis that he was trying to get read into a program that was run by an independent civilian contractor that was working for the government, the military, and they refused to allow him to have entry into the program. He did not have, they said, the need to know. Even though he was J2, Joint Chiefs of Staff, second in charge of all of the military intelligence offices and branches. So he got so mad that he went to his colleagues at the Pentagon and said, what's up with this? These guys won't tell me what's going on, and they won't allow me any information. The Pentagon told him to stand down.
That's
what happened.
Jeez, it's remarkable in the depth of what it's telling people that want to know. It's mind-boggling. So, do we have anywhere where we could talk about the different pages that the other reveals are on? Can we go kind of through it from beginning to end? Is that possible?
Well, what I can do real quickly is that On the very first page is Dr. Davis's starting notes, where he is actually meeting with Admiral Wilson,
right.
And explains how Admiral Wilson is saying the only reason he's willing to talk with Davis is that he was referred to Davis by Okie Shannon from the Navy, a longtime ago friend that said he'd be a good guy to talk to. Go ahead and do that. So that's kind of the first part of the page where they found that.
Okay.
Davis now is asking Admiral Wilson to explain to him, because this is what he heard about this secret meeting that happened with Dr. Stephen Greer, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, and Willard Smith, another naval commander.
Okay.
And they were briefing Admiral Wilson on the UFO inside Cabal issue. And for at least 2 hours, probably more than that. And he was asking them, Davis was asking Admiral Wilson to confirm that he had the meeting. He did. He confirmed he had the meeting in page 2 of this document.
Yes, that's so amazing. And the whole bit about them calling it a cabal, I find that fascinating. But anyhow, go on.
That's right in the document, for sure.
I know. It's quite interesting. So go ahead.
Now, here's a real interesting side point. In this document is a 2-page letter from Commander Will Miller to Eric Davis, the
right.
scientist. They communicate back and forth. And Miller is telling Davis that, by the way, I know you and Hal Puthoff are interested in crash retrieval of UFOs. So if you're interested, I am willing to assist you in finding some details in that regard. And let me read to you particularly what he is willing to give them.
Okay.
Number one. He's going to give him information on a special team involved as a secondary mission with recovering crashed craft, including but not limited to the previously classified F-117 stealth fighter, that thing that went down as well.
Oh,
and
okay.
This team of successors of and its parent sponsoring entity and the two key officers that would provide information that you seek. Number two, he's willing to give them the name and last location of a senior officer who I believe had firsthand knowledge of U.S. government alien reproduction vehicles at Area 51 and associated locations. Number
wow.
three, the name and current location of a retired senior flag rank officer who I believe was directly involved in the government interaction with a significant UFO event on the east coast of the U.S. and I believe has, by virtue of his former leadership position, high rank and control of significant military forces, direct knowledge of the U.S. government involvement in this business. Now, believe it or not, I think that alludes to the 2000 UFO military flap that happened on the East Coast.
Right. I can't remember who was involved because the Princeton and the Nimitz were on the West Coast, and
yeah.
I, for the life of me, can't remember the East Coast incident, but yeah, I agree with you on that.
Okay, now wait to hear this one. Number four, he's willing to give a list of civilian government contractors who, by virtue of their past and current highly classified work, current capabilities, clearances, special personnel, and geographic areas of concern, most likely have current involvement in and knowledge of the U.S. government work in alien-derived technologies, crashes, landing, and associated events. If you have an interest in the above, please let me know.
When I read that line, I swear to God, Michael, I was just laughing so hard. I couldn't believe he actually put that in there. I was like, really? You're dropping a bombshell on him? And you're asking him if he's interested. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that is just a little tidbit, actually, of this 15-page document, because now we're on page 5, and there are certain things that you go through this thing to determine what happens next between Admiral Wilson and Dr. Wilson. Dr. Davis, sorry, who was interviewing Admiral Wilson.
So, go ahead. I want to see where you want to go next, but where I'd like to go is at the bottom of page 5, where Eric Davis says, "We spent time discussing my background, answered his question on my AF, NASA, and related work interest, history with AF jobs, what I did, and then education career choices." And then he puts, which I started laughing when I read this too, he says, "No mention of MIDS, !!!" I was laughing because obviously he was hurt by that, or he wouldn't have put it in there.
Yeah,
I thought that was so cute in a weird way,
it's very very good that you picked that out of this 15-page document. You went right to it. That's kind of a funny
thing. I thought it was hysterical. I was laughing. I thought, oh, Eric, come on now. We all know you worked on NIDS, and I know he knew too, and the Air Force is more important, for this guy because he's a military dude, And I thought to myself, don't feel bad.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very cute, actually. So further down.
Tell you basically the next thing that's coming up here, because what happens next is that Eric Davis decides, okay, we got to get back on track here. I need to know what happened during this incident that he heard about, Admiral Wilson tried to get access to this special access program, a SAP program.
Right.
And so finally they get down to that thing, and the meeting. What happened was is that after the meeting that Admiral Wilson had with Dr. Greer and Dr. Mitchell, he actually made some phone calls. He started looking around. He was a little interested in this now. And he got some interesting responses from some of his colleagues in the Pentagon. High-ranking colleagues said, well, if you really are interested in this stuff, you ought to go check out this one file. Kind of hidden underneath another special access program in the AOSDAT office. That's AOSDAT office. And that is Office of Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics. This is the Acquisition and Technology Department of the military, who has kind of like a sub-accounting going on of what they're doing. He says, well, go and check that out. So he checks out the file, and he finds a couple of contacts of organizations, basically civilian contractors, who are working on UFOs, is what it says. So he gets very interested. He makes some phone calls to these project managers. And all of a sudden, the project manager, when he finally gets down to the brass tacks of this one big contractor that's working on this program, the project manager goes, how did you find me?
Right.
How did you find us? And of course, Admiral Wilson is saying, what do you mean? I'm in charge of you guys. I have statutory authority over all of these things. The fact that you have not read me into your program is your mistake. You need to correct that, is he saying. And of course, the guy on the phone is sputtering. He's the program manager. He says, well, I'll get right back to you. Don't worry, we'll set up a meeting. So here's the kicker. They set up a meeting. Well, Admiral Wilson says that he flew out there eventually within the next few days. Now, that means to me, if he's in the Pentagon on the East Coast, he's flying out there, meaning probably the West Coast somewhere, I'm thinking. And I don't think it's Vegas. I don't think it's EG&G. I think that's
No. I think I know where it is, but I'm not going to say anything at this point.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think I do too. But what I'm thinking, West Coast.
Yeah. So, definitely West Coast.
Flies out there and meets with this subcontractor, this civilian contractor, in a specialized in their facility in a soundproof, bug-proof vault. He calls it a vault.
Yeah.
And basically meets with the program manager. The security director, who is an ex-NSA counterintelligence expert, and their corporate attorney.
When I read that, I really started laughing, but go ahead. Oh my God.
The attorneys are in there everywhere. I couldn't believe it. So anyways, the three, and they call themselves, by the way, the gatekeepers.
Yep.
For the civilian contracting organization. They asked the admiral. Admiral, how did you find us? Who did you talk to? What phone calls, texts, and everything you made? They were quizzing him on how he got access. And the reason they said is they were almost outed a few years ago in a government audit where the Pentagon officials to figure out, you know, the normal audit process, ran across a snag with these guys. And all of a sudden, it was a big brouhaha. There was a big thing that happened at the Pentagon where the Pentagon had to make some kind of special protocols now so that the contractor themselves has this basic situation where they make the rules on who, if anyone, gets access to their program now. That's how super secret this thing is. Basically, they tell the admiral during this meeting that he doesn't have the need to know about their program. Now, the admiral gets pretty upset. Obviously, I would. And he says, wait a minute, you know, I have statutory authority, all that kind of stuff. Finally, it goes back and forth. The contractor says, well, let us show you our bigot list. Have you heard of that term? It's just totally off the wall. I'm going, bigot list? What the heck is that? Now, real quickly, that is a reversed acronym for to Gibraltar. During the Second World War, planning for the invasion of Europe at Normandy, this is very timely, they send the advance contingent to plan this to the Isle of Gibraltar. So on your ticket, if you had the need to know on what was going on as far as this big invasion about to happen, your ticket said to Gibraltar as a code name.
Okay.
Later on in the intelligence community, the military community uses a bigot list to designate people who have a need to know. They show the admiral the bigot list. Now, the bigot list, Eric Davis is asking the admiral, so who was on the list? And the admiral said, nobody really I knew. He says, basically, it was just it was contractor employees, civilian employees. There were a few Pentagon officials, but no high-ranking officials. There were no presidents. There were no congressional members, no congressional staffers. There were no military people on the list. And he's going, this is crazy. You know, I'm the guy who is in charge of these programs. Why am I not on the list? They said, sorry, Admiral, you know, we can't let you in. The admiral says, okay, I'm going to go to the Pentagon, and I'm going to report you guys and all that. And you know what the guys say? I can see this. go ahead, Admiral.
Go ahead. Good luck.
But before they leave, this is the kicker. And I want to give credit to this attorney, whoever he or she is in this black ops civilian program, because at one point, the admiral is getting so testy and asking all of these questions. Well, what do you guys do? What? Just tell me what's going on here. And he gets so heated that the attorney and the project manager, the attorney and the security director looks at the project manager and says, go ahead, you can tell him. So here's the kicker. He says that we are a reverse engineering program. Now, Admiral Wilson immediately goes, oh, well, this makes sense. You know, he was thinking, this is probably a program that reverse engineers, counterintelligence technologies from other countries, you know, that we get. And the UFO thing is just a cover up, you know, to that whole issue. That's what he was thinking. And so he's asking him about, is it Chinese? Is it Russian? You know, that he says, no, it's not that. So finally, they get to the point where they say, well, what is it? You know, what kind of stuff do you guys do? And what I thought I'd do is I'll get right to the page that they're
asking. Yeah, I think you're on page 14. Is that where you're heading?
13? I think I'm heading to 14. I think you're right because it starts on 13.
Maybe on 15. Hold on, let me look.
This is just stunning what he... what they tell him on this document. It starts at actually page 12.
And it says,
the program manager tells him, No, we are not a weapons program. We're not an intelligence program. We're not a special ops or logistics program. We don't fit into these categories. And I, Wilson says, what are you then? And all of a sudden, there's a loud groan from the program manager that's noted in this memo. The security director and the attorney tell him, it's okay. You can say it. And then Davis says, asks Wilson, what did they say? He said, we are a reverse engineering program. Wait to hear this. Something was recovered years ago in the past. Technological hardware was recovered. So I thought they meant Soviet, Chinese, etc. Hardware reverse engineering, like a missile or intel program or an aircraft. Actually, I came to the meeting expecting to find a sensitive foreign collection reverse engineering operation and thought UFOs was used as a cover-up for that. So I said that to them, and they said no, they weren't that either. This is the kicker. They told him they had a craft, an intact craft they believe could fly, in parentheses, space, air, water, dimensions.
Yep.
And
parentheses. I know.
He keeps going. Was it from overseas? They said, no, could not be. Not possible. Why? I asked. Where did it come from? Program managers said they didn't know where it was from. They had an idea on this. It was technology that was not of this earth, not made by man, not by human hands. They said they were trying to understand and exploit the technology, and their program was going on for years and years with very slow progress, agonizingly slow, with little or no success, painful lack of collaboration to get help from outside community of experts, etc. They confirmed they only had about 400 to 800 people on their bigot list who are working on this program. Then Admiral Wilson asked the Commander Miller questions. Roswell, the craft, the bodies, autopsies, the Holloman UFO landing issue with President Eisenhower, the MJ-12 and the leaked documents, the Lonnie Zamora sighting and the Bentwaters sighting. They were mum on this and declined not to discuss these. Then, of course, he threatens to go to the thing. Now, I'm going to get down to the bottom part here.
Right.
Where he actually gets to what they said that they do.
About Corso?
About Corso, because Davis asked Wilson, did you ask them about Colonel Corso and his book? And, of course, Wilson says, Greer talked to me about Corso on the April 9th, 1997 meeting.
Right.
And showed me the book and the whole thing. I didn't read it, and I didn't bring up Corso's name at the meeting. So he did not do that. But he did mention that, as far as he can tell, he says, but comparing the Corso, this is Admiral Wilson talking.
Yeah.
The Corso story to what I learned at the meeting, it is more than enough for me to believe Corso told the truth about seeing alien hardware, etc.
Exactly.
That is a kicker.
Yep, I totally agree. Thank God he's being vindicated a little bit here. Thank God.
Oh, yeah. Now we've got just a few minutes, but what I'll do is finish up by saying that after this meeting, Admiral Wilson goes to the Pentagon, starts talking to some of his colleagues there, including Jacques Gansler, who is a big high-ranking general, of course, and is talking to him about the meetings that he had and about him being shut down. And Gansler, come to find out, already knew about his meetings, Admiral Wilson's meetings. Wilson was surprised that Gansler had been briefed on him being there. Admiral Wilson is talking to Gansler about, well, what's going on here? And Gansler tells Wilson that, and this is just fascinating. He says, Gansler tells Wilson, UFOs are real. So-called alien abductions, not real. Now,
wow.
Does that throw a finger into things or what? But by the way, the bottom line is that Gansler and everyone else in the review board that Admiral Wilson went to sustained the private contractor in shutting out the admiral. J2, in charge of all intelligence of all the military branches, could not get access to this program.
Well, you know what? This is what I've been saying all along. I've always said that Bob Bigelow is the kingpin to everything. He's a private contractor. He doesn't have to answer to anybody. He can do whatever the heck he wants, and there's no oversight. And it's plausible deniability into the grave. And Skunk Works, JPL, the list goes on and on. They're in the same boat. And that's why they've always contracted this out. And that's why our military really doesn't know what the hell is going on. It's that simple. And I've been saying this for 10 years on air, live, basically, that this is what's going on. And thank God this document has been leaked. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think Stephen Greer leaked this document?
I don't think Dr. Greer had the document. I think
if
you read his book, he alludes to the meeting.
Right.
But he does not have the details.
Oh, Michael, our time together is over, sweetheart. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. I really appreciate it. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Revolution Radio, Freedom Slips. We'll be right back after this message.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday. Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome, everyone, to the Fenton Perspective here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Well, that was an interesting first hour of the show, I got to say. Boy, you guys, breaking news here on Revolution Radio. I sure hope it got out there to the universe. And, I'm trying to get Melinda Leslie in on the phone call here, and I can't get a hold of AMAD or anybody at the studio level. They may have just set me up and walked out of the room, which is fine. But I'm trying to add Melinda to the call. Let me see if I can do that now and see if she's out there listening. And Melinda, if you're listening, I'm adding you now. So let's see what happens. We may have a very bad echo because I'm adding you during the time that I've got the server running, but we'll see what happens. Let me add her. See what goes on. She's been not answering the last couple times I called.
Melinda Leslie,
yeah, she's not answering. I'm
going to
remove her from the call, and I'm going to try her Skype. Let's see if I can do that. Okay, let me see. Where do I get to the Skype? Yeah, there we go. Let me add her here. See if that'll work. Chats, Melinda. Yeah, there we go. Let me see if I can add her to the call. Boy, this is always confusing, you guys. I'll tell you what. I never know how to do this anymore. I'm very confused about if you add them to the call, I guess all I have to do is go down the list. Okay, let me see if that works. Add Melinda. Let's see. Add Melinda. Okay, we're working on it. Da, da, da. It'll happen, folks. Just give me a second. And in the meantime, you guys know we're listener supported and we really appreciate your help. So anything you can do to get us going here, we'd really appreciate it at Revolution Radio. And you can always go to the archives to help us out there. We really appreciate that. Oh, Melinda's on. There we go. Okay, let's add her to the call. Let's see what happens now. Yeah, you can always go to the archive button and you can subscribe to the archives. This is a show that you guys are going to want to subscribe to the archives for because you're going to want to put this up on all your Facebook pages. You're going to want to put this everywhere. Hey, you're with me. Thank you. How are you doing? Can you hear me? Let's see. I may have, I don't know why she can't hear me. Melinda, can you hear me? Okay, Melinda, if you can hear me, I need you to hang up and I'm going to try again. Okay, so I'm going to hang up. Let's see what happens. There you go. She can hear me. Okay, let's maybe she's muted and doesn't know it. Let's try that again. Let's see. Someday I'll figure this out, you guys. I swear to God. Someday it'll be easy. Melinda. Yeah, you guys all know that the archives is the best way to support us here at Revolution Radio. And if you do go to the archives to support us, I'd really appreciate you telling Nighthawk. She's added herself to the call. Melinda, can you hear me okay? I can't hear you, so I'm thinking your mute might be on, or you're not, the phone mute may be on, because you're not muted on Skype. Why can't I hear you?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, now I can. So
okay, my phone was cutting out repeatedly, but we're good now.
Okay, we're good. All right. Well, welcome to the show. Did you get a chance to hear the first hour with Michael Hall?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of all that? Well, first of all, tell the audience what you know about all the Cosmic 100 and the research you've done into it. And I'm going to give them a link to go watch you do a presentation on this and how this whole document dump relates to you as well. So let's go from there.
Okay. Well, before I even get into that, let me say a few other things really quick here, if I may.
Sure.
I wish I'd been on with Michael, because Michael, if you're listening, I got questions.
Well, you know, the whole purpose of the first hour was just to get it out there, his what was in the documents, his part in it, and whatever, because he had to run off to another show. And he's been running off to shows all day, so I could only get him for an hour. So what are your questions? Maybe we could just ponder them and ask the audience and, you know, go from there.
Okay. I just kind of bouncing all over here in notes. Now, first off, I want to give some kudos out. He did a couple of times to people, but I want to add Giuliano Rinkovic and this wonderful timeline he put out on social media. And Lorianne, I can hear lots of noise on your end, like stuff moving around and hitting the mic.
That's not me. I think that is at the studio end, and we're just going to have to ignore it because they have it muted. Okay.
Okay. Very good. Well, maybe they'll hear us and mute. Anyway, so I want to put out a thank you to Giuliano Marinkovic. He did an amazing job of putting out the entire timeline of how this unfolded, starting back in 2008 with Greer's involvement and the original meeting that caused the admiral to Vice Admiral Thomas R. Wilson to look into this, which led to all of his research and meetings, which is what Dr. Eric Davis interviewed him about. So, and then coming forward with the full, like, all the media snippets, all the little interviews that, whether it was Dolan or Grant Cameron or, you know, whoever it was. And so he did a beautiful job of compiling that. And unfortunately, I don't have a link, but anyone listening to this who has the link, go to my Facebook page and put it in my comments, where I have this listed on my Facebook page. So just go to my Facebook page, put the link in there for me. If not, later tonight, I will. So,
okay. Perfect, because I want to see this now, because I'm very curious about it.
Well, it takes quite a while to get through a lot of it, but it helped me in really understanding the story and how it developed. And he did a real, you know, yeoman's job of
Melinda, you're breaking up very badly. Where are you? Hello? I can't hear you at all now. So I'm wondering. Oh yeah, she's breaking up so badly, folks. Melinda, I'm gonna have to ask you to hang up. I got to hang up on you. It's so bad. And I'll try to get to a better spot. Yeah, I'm going to call you back on the phone. Okay, bye. Okay, folks. Well, that was interesting. The minute she starts getting into this stuff, she turns into bubbly person. Bubbly person. That's a good way to do it. Okay, add to call. Let's see if we can get her on the phone.
Hi, okay. This is Melinda Leslie with UFO Sighting Tours.
Answering yet.
I'm sorry, I'm not available right now.
Hmm. Well, this is all fun and games. I'll get her, guys, I promise. And I think she's got a very interesting story to tell you guys about these documents and about her involvement with these guys. So that's why she's on the show today. Let's see if I can get her on the phone. Add to call. Try one more time.
Hi, this is Melinda Leslie with UFO Sighting Tours. I'm not available right now, but please leave your name and phone number, and I'll be happy to call you back.
Let's leave her a message.
Please have an adventurous and blessed day.
Miss Melinda, you're live on my show. Where are you? There you are. Melinda, come on, answer your phone. We're calling you from the show. Okay, all fun and games aside, I'm hanging up and calling again. Okay, bye. Oh, my God, this is too funny. I swear to God. Every time I try to have a really interesting show, I get thwarted. Okay, we'll add her to the call. Try one more time. Let's see if she can answer.
Hi,
my theory is, folks, she's driving around looking for a spot where she's getting a good signal, because she's in her car in Sedona, Arizona, and she is near the Center for New Age, and she's trying to get a good signal, because at 7 o'clock our time, when the show's over, Pacific, she has to run out the door at 7:05 and go take her UFO Sighting Tours group out tonight. So she said, I can do this from the car. So the question is, where is she parked? Is she getting a signal? So I'll give her a couple more minutes and then I'll try her. So you know that, Melinda, if you're listening. And in the meantime, this is all just fascinating stuff, you guys, especially the part where they talk. Here's where I got all excited. It's where Eric Davis says to the general, or Mr. Wilson, whatever he is, on page 15, he says, are you willing to talk to Hal Putoff and Kit Green? And then they discuss who they are in the remote viewing program history. I thought that was interesting. He goes, TW, that Wilson was not familiar with these names. He had heard about the remote viewing program in 1990, and maybe he'll meet with Hal. He would think about it, and no response on Kit Green. He prefers never to talk to anybody else about this again. He is risking exposure. It's better to stop talking and cut it off here. So I just found this fascinating that the military guy just didn't really want to go any further with this, even though he was up to his, you know, neck in alligators at this point now by doing all this and shaking the tail. So, you know, you guys, I'm always wondering. Let's put it this way. I always wondered why the military was not up to their neck in alligators in the UFO field and why the private sector was getting it. For some reason, I always believed this, and now I'm starting to think it's absolutely true. These guys can't handle the truth. I know that sounds crazy coming from me, but I really think they're such, you know, military guys are very different. They're wired differently. They're built differently. They're here to defend our country, our freedoms and this and that. And they're brainwashed into all this. They got to remember, boot camp isn't about getting you stronger. It's about brainwashing you into doing what you're told. It is a mind washing program, and they understand that. And once you get through, you understand what you've just been through, and you understand that you've got to keep the guy next to you alive. And that's what it's really all about. Now, what happens when you're standing there and there's an alien that can zap you into a molecule of dust and you're sitting there going, what the heck? You know?
Lorianne?
Yeah. Hey, you're back. Let me finish my thought here. So you guys, I can completely understand why at a lower level and even at a higher level, not knowing about the alien agenda or the alien presence or whatever you want to call it may not be something our military wants to know about. So it makes total sense to me that Wilson.
Lorianne?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay, Melinda? Can you hear me?
Okay. Now you're calling me again on Skype. I was going to say call me on my phone line. I think it's that I'm on Skype on my phone in a vortex because I live in Sedona, and I think it's causing us problems. No joke.
Okay. I tried calling your phone 3 times and you didn't answer.
It never rang. It never, ever rang.
Okay.
But
well,
I think what happened is the Skype line was still open.
Oh,
okay. Closed down the Skype line. So we got to both close out of Skype and then call me on the phone.
I can't close out of Skype because if I do, my show ends.
Okay, so. Right now we got a good signal, right? And everyone
can
hear
me? Yeah, we're okay now. We're okay. We're good.
We'll so now, because we're, you know, we'll see if this
keeps. Linda, let me finish my thought here, please. And then we'll go on to your involvement in this.
I didn't know you were talking. All I know is all of a sudden I could hear you, so I tried again.
Okay, good, good. Okay, perfect. Okay, so folks, you understand my point here. I absolutely believe that it's that the reason they pawned everything off into the private sector as much as they could is because these guys are not wired to handle that kind of truth. And I get that. I totally get it. After seeing, and Melinda can attest to this, after seeing Kevin Day and Gary Voorhees, the two guys interviewed on Unidentified this last Friday and the Friday before on History Channel during the To the Stars Academy TV show, I'm telling you, these guys, they've never been the same since. They will never be the same. And you can't have that happening to troops that you need to be able to be focusing on the task at hand. And that is the problem. So that explains to me exactly why these guys do not make this a military endeavor and it has been handed off to everybody else. So that's my opinion. Melinda, what do you think about that? Because I was reading the part where Eric Davis says, are you willing to talk to Hal Putoff and Kit Green? And they discuss who the remote viewing program history and that he's not familiar with the names. He doesn't necessarily want to talk to Hal. No response on Kit. You know, it's like he kind of just does it. He prefers never to talk to anyone else about it again. It risks exposure and it's better to stop talking and cut it off here. And that tells me that as a military high-ranking official, he may not want to know the truth in a weird way. What's your take on that?
An intelligence community high-ranking, being with the position of J2, you know, so head of the intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So that's what this guy's position was. Vice Admiral Thomas R. Wilson, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I just want to make sure. I thought you couldn't hear me again. Sorry. Sorry, babe, for the technical things. But
yeah,
when you live in Sedona in a vortex, you know, it gets crazy. And phones, anyone who's traveled here knows phones drop in and out. And I'm sitting perfectly still in a car. But I actually, while we weren't having a connection, I drove up on a hill, way up on a hill.
So I told the audience that. I said, she's repositioning her car for a better signal.
I know, I'm getting up on a hill. You know, I'm just sitting in the car on my phone. So it should be my regular cell signal. But anyways, what can I say? But yeah. I did. I got up way up on a hill, so hopefully that helps. Okay, so going back to what I was saying, Vice Admiral Thomas R. Wilson, head of intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, what the position is called, J2, you know, so this guy had every right, as he, you know, as it clearly states in the document, to know. And it shows you how the compartmentalization of this subject matter works, you know, for him not to have clearance. So that's a very telling piece of information in this. I want to quickly say, I have a note here to bring up that this is not necessarily a new story. The existence of the document is a story going back to 2008. But what makes it, or very close to that, what makes this really significant is it was a story about the document exists.
Melinda, you're breaking up really badly again. So I need you to hang up on Skype. I need you to get out of it. And I need you to get your phone on and ready. Okay, I removed Melinda from the call. I'm sorry, folks. She does live in a vortex, and as you know, that sound is a kind of vortexy alien sound. It's not your usual, you know, it's not your usual stuff there. Oh, God. I'm just laughing because I've been trying to get through this show tonight, and just everywhere I turn, even with Michael, I was having difficulties. So, yeah, it's kind of funny. What can I say? Melinda, are you back? I don't want you joining on Skype. Hang up your Skype and I'm going to call you on the phone. Can't hear you. Okay, I'm hanging up on her. let's hope she gets that figured out not to call back. So, let's see. Hey there, AMAD, if you're out there listening to this, you guys' mic is open, and I can hear stuff going on in the background there. If that's Hawk, that's wonderful, but I can still hear you, and I can't mute you, which is interesting. And, okay, add Melinda to the call. Let's try this. I'm so sorry about all this, folks. I wish I had some help. I know that they're there, but I don't think they're in the room.
Melinda Leslie with UFO Sighting Tours. I'm sorry, I'm not available right now.
Yeah, I can't get her on the phone.
Phone number and I'll...
Melinda, are you there? Okay, we can't hear you on Skype. You need to hang up your Skype and stop joining the call. I don't know how much clearer I've got to be here. So please hang up on Skype. Log out of Skype if you have to. I think that's the problem. I think you need to log out of Skype. And then I can get you on the phone because I think your Skype is making it so you can't answer the phone. Okay, I'm going to remove her again. Okay, well, if I can't get her after this one last try, then folks, it's going to be me for the rest of the show. Sorry about that. So, anyhow, as I was saying, and Melinda has a very good point, this guy is the, you know, J2, he is high up and he's not even in on it. So I think my theory on this is absolutely correct. I totally believe that the, you know, government military guys, very few of them knew what was ever going on. And the Bigelow crowd, the Skunk Works crowd, the Department of, you know, Defense, panned all this off onto corporations and aerospace industry. Absolutely believe that. And we know it's true. So, you know, another guy that I should have had on the show tonight during this whole thing is Mark McCandless. Should have had him on because he is the guy that his buddy broke the whole ARV story. Okay, Melinda. Let's see. Okay, sorry, guys. It's just... I can't stand it when my guests can't get on the show. Let me type to her. Hang up on Skype so I can get through on your...
Lorianne, it's Melinda. You keep trying to call me through Skype. You keep calling my Skype, not my...
No, I'm not calling your Skype. I'm calling your phone number, and your Skype is open, and you're answering it on Skype.
No, I even shut my phone all the way down and restarted it so it would close everything.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what's going on because I'm calling the 310 number, so it shouldn't be answering, actually, but that's okay. I can hear you right now, so that's good. Okay, as I was saying, folks, I absolutely believe that that's what's going on, and I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to start asking Melinda some questions. And Melinda, if it happens again, I'm just going to have to say bye-bye because it's way too much trouble at this point. We've already wasted 20 minutes, so just trying to get you on. So anyhow... she's gone. Okay. So I don't know what to do now. I'm just going to kind of leave it at that. And, let's see if I can remove her from the call. Okay. Okay, I don't know what's going on, guys, but okay. Okay, we're going to leave it at that. Okay, so yeah, so that's my opinion. And then if we go through the documents any further, the interesting part to them is that I find that they talk about reverse engineering, which we've known about for years, and they're just basically acknowledging everything us as ufologists.
Lorraine, it's because the Skype is open on your end. Even though I shut my phone down, as soon as I turn my phone on, Skype is opening up because the line is open on your end.
Okay. Well, yeah, but you can disconnect from it, but I don't have time to.
I did. I shut my phone completely down and rebooted it.
Yeah, but you got to log out of Skype, though, because you're automatically logged in. So you've got to log out for it to actually shut off. So, but anyhow, let's not go into that now. I've got you here. I can hear you for a minute. Let's see if we can get something out of you at this point. So, as we were saying before you came in this time, I firmly believe that the military does not allow all of their people to know about UFOs and what's happened and what is going on now because of the way it affects the actual guy on the ground, like it affected Voorhees and Day. What's your opinion about that?
Okay, Lorraine, can you hear me?
Yeah, but it's very bad. It sounds like you're in a wind tunnel.
Okay, well, we're on Skype again, and I've closed it down completely on my end, but because it's remaining open on your end, it just keeps instantly opening on my phone. So do it this way. I can hear you pretty good.
Okay, good. So anyhow, what's your opinion about the fact that people like Kevin Day and Gary Voorhees and all those guys are being kept out of the loop? And my opinion is this, in a nutshell, is that these guys have been changed completely since the day that this all happened to them, and the military can't afford to have all of their people be changed and wondering about what the heck is going on instead of covering each other's backs in a military situation. So, yeah, so that's my take on it. And, you know, you see see the fighter pilots going out. They can't even keep up with this thing. So how are they supposed to defend their country? Right. I mean, it messes with their heads.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these guys were changed and affected by their experience. I think it's knowing the truth. Now, can you hear me okay right now, I hope?
Yeah, right now I can hear you good.
Okay. It does affect people. Anyone with experiences knows that. But I do want to go back to some stuff I wish I was able to do this with Michael. And I'm sorry, everyone, about the technical difficulties, but my phone is instantly opening up Skype because it's open on the other end. So, but we'll make this work as long as it's working right now. At least I know I can go right back into Skype and get Lorraine again if it cuts out. So as I was saying, though, this is an old story, but what makes this really significant is the fact we actually have the document, as opposed to many years of references to this document existing, the many, many references to the original meeting that happened with Greer and et cetera, you know. So
true.
And the significance here is we finally have the document that's been referenced, of which apparently was linked to Grant Cameron. And that person, I guess, is not being disclosed because in talking to Grant briefly about it before the call today, I did speak with him just briefly. Was texting back and forth, but we texted briefly about it. And he was not answering my questions as far as who or how he got it. And they're leaving that part out. And quite frankly, Michael, if you're listening to this, or Grant, you guys need to address that. You know,
Melinda, I talked to them about this back in February at Conscious Life Expo. We were all in the hallway. They told me they had something. I said, I don't want to know about it because, you know me, I don't, because I'll blab about it if I know about it. So I said, don't tell me. It's the last person you want to tell anything to. And they laughed. But the bottom line is this. if the person doesn't want to be known, we can't know who it is. If it's Eric Davis himself, then I think Eric should come out to tell us.
I've speculated that is a possibility. Or now that he's retired, Thomas Wilson, even a couple other people mentioned in it as coming out with this. It's kind of a very convoluted theory, but when I looked up Oak Shannon, who's mentioned initially in the beginning and was the person who put Dr. Davis and Vice Admiral Wilson together, well, he's become very religious. And I wondered if there was a motivation on the truth and him not liking apparently a past involvement with the working group, because he is one of the people that was involved in the working group when I get into that. But I'm like, okay, is his religious beliefs given him some motivation for releasing this? Because he may have had a copy from Eric. Eric would have, it stands to, you know, reason and logical that Eric would have provided.
Oh, you just cut out on me. Are you still there? Shoot. Okay, Melinda, you just cut out. I'm going to hang up on you again and then see if you can reconnect. Okay, we'll see what she does. I would like to be connecting with her. I think that might be half the problem. Let me see what I can do. Let me add her back in. I don't know if that's going to do any good. You guys, I'm so sorry about this. I don't know what the problem is. Every time Melinda gets on my show, we always have these issues. There you are. Hello? Can't hear you, Melinda. I don't know what's going on. It's just, I'm hearing nothing. So, I don't know what to tell you. Do you have your Bluetooth on? If you do, could you turn it off? Because it may be interfering with the signal. Even if it's on and you don't have it connected to the car, it might be interfering.
Okay. Can you hear? No, my car's turned off.
Your car's turned off. Is the Bluetooth on your phone, though?
Nope.
Okay. All right, I can hear you now. I don't know what that was all about. So anyhow, go ahead.
It cut out for a second, but at least I know how to get you right back, so I'm able to get you right back every time.
Okay.
So I don't know what the last thing you heard me say was.
The last thing I heard you say was about Oki and being religious.
Yeah. So he was religious, and, you know, so I question if maybe there was something on his part, on Oak Shannon's part, you know,
Okay, Melinda, it's so bad. I can't make you out. I gotta hang up on you again. Boy, you guys, this is just something else. I've never had this. Yeah, but stop reconnecting. Melinda, it's terrible. So stop reconnecting and let me try to call your cell phone, okay? Okay, I can't even remove her from the call anymore. It's so messed up. I don't know what to tell you, folks. If I can get her off the call, I could call her phone, but that's not going to happen. Amat, are you there? Can you help me, please?
Okay, here we go again. I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me. Okay. Remove the 425 number. Hold on a second. Melinda, hold on a second. Yeah, remove everybody but the 310, Amat. Thank you. Okay, perfect. Yeah, keep going. You can remove everybody but the 310 number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you know what? I think the connection was still open with Michael. I think that might have been the problem. Thank you, AMAD. Thank you, thank you. AMAD does TeamViewer with me. Yeah, he does TeamViewer with me, and there were like five things open there. So I'm not sure what was happening. That was very strange.
Oh, maybe that is the problem. So maybe
I've never had this problem with you before. I was like, what the heck is going on?
I know. You and I have done this many times. We've never had this happen. Unless, of course, like we'll never rule out that we're not being screwed with.
Yeah, AMAD may have been screwing with us. That would have been fun.
So one thing that in a past interview with Grant that I caught in those things that Giuliano had posted, Grant had said, I think he was being interviewed on with John Greenwald on the Black Vault radio program.
Right.
And John was asking questions, and Grant had said that the person who released this to him had died. And maybe it's an agreement with the family not to use their name or something, but he had said in that interview, the person who had it died and it was on their files and the other person got it that way. No, I'm not sure, but that's what Grant said, and et cetera. So going back to, we started to address the working group and that involvement.
That's research
that I have been doing along with my research associate, Randy Copang, for almost 30 years. I will say it's hard to kind of pinpoint exactly when we started, but between 25 and 28 years, okay, for sure. And it's been an ongoing research project where we have come up with a timeline of the working group, a group of individuals that are high-placed intelligence insiders, aerospace insiders, etc. And, you know, they have been written about in other books. Their director at one time was Colonel John Alexander, and he wrote about it in two of his books, as well as Howard Bloom wrote about it and exposed it. So this is something that is out there known. But Randy and I have been following this detailed timeline of their involvement in ufology and ufology projects going back about a 40-year history. Even though we've been looking into it for, let's say, 28 years, it's a 40-year history. And it is the group that formed NIDS, you know, eventually, just kind of speeding it up to the current, formed NIDS. NIDS begat BASS. BASS begot the ATIP program. And the ATIP program begat
the CERN. Oh, dear. Melinda, you're breaking up really, really bad again. So I need Melinda, I've got to hang up on you again. So get back to me because you're breaking up really bad. Okay, I was able to remove her from the call, and remove whoever those people are too. The only person I want left is me and the studio right now, AMAD, if you could do that. Okay, let's close that. Yes, perfect. Close them all. Oh, I love AMAD. He's doing such a great job. Or is that Nighthawk? I don't know who this is.
That's me.
Okay. So if we can get those people off of there, AMAD, that would be wonderful. The only people I want left are me in the studio.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can, Melinda. I don't know if AMAD understands. He's trying to remove everybody from the call now, so... not on the call. Okay, perfect. Yeah. I think next line.
If it breaks up, I'll immediately call you right back again. We'll just keep doing it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we're going to have to.
Sorry, everybody. I mean, it's, you know, I'm just, I can't understand what's going on, but okay. So, So going back to that, and now how this relates to the document is specifically how it relates is there. When I first read it, and I had to go back and reread this a couple times because my jaw hit the floor, that there was this one or two paragraphs, saying O'Shannon and saying and a comment. Unfortunately, poor John Alexander, there's kind of a derogatory comment there about him, and then also saying that this meeting at BDM Corporation. Well, one of the individuals at that meeting was a friend of mine who's passed, and that gentleman had documents that after he passed went to a friend of mine went to a friend of mine and I, so we both actually got copies.
Right, exactly.
But another researcher in the field, but it and not a known person, a very much someone who lays low, but he was very good friends with this individual, and it was actually his family that let him have some files that the guy had in his garage at his house. So it was nothing clandestine or anything. They just said, hey, do you want to look at the stuff in his files? You know, we've got these file boxes before we throw them away, because otherwise we're just going to destroy and throw them away. And so they let him go through them. And my friend had the presence of mind to note a couple of key documents. But one of them was the meeting minutes. Now, it turns out Grant Cameron got those in another way from a different source, but
That's right. Yeah.
And as well as some overhead transparencies, because this meeting had happened, off the top of my head, I think it was 1985, off the top of my head, at BDM Corporation in Virginia. In a closed vault. Again, I find that interesting, the similarity in stories. We're talking a closed vault room and a private, you know, meeting. And it was the beginning of what became known as the Advanced Theoretical Physics Working Group, which is often being abbreviated as just Advanced Physics Working Group, APWG. And in this document, it says the AP-10 group. And of course, AP, I'm assuming, is advanced physics, and dash 10 might have meant everything from the room number they were in to the first group of people, the first number of people there at that meeting. I'm not sure what dash 10 is. I've actually on Facebook contacted John Alexander to say, what does the dash 10 mean? Hoping that maybe he'd be willing to answer me. And I've not heard from him. There's a lot of people in preparation the last 24 hours. I've tried to contact and haven't been successful in doing so, but I can't spend every minute doing
it. Okay, you're breaking up again. I'm going to remove you. Call me back. Okay, see what happens. So this is what we do, folks. Every time she breaks up, I get to have her come back in. So we'll see if she pops back on and joins the call. And I wish I could get her. There she is. She's back. Okay.
Yep. Look, luckily we know how to do this real quick now. I know.
Yeah.
How to go. So learn by experience. Okay.
Exactly. So,
yeah, unfortunately, I apologize, everyone. I have no idea what's going on, but okay.
I don't either. It's never happened before like this, so this is a whole new one for me.
It's never happened to either of us, and we've done this before. So, okay, so
you tried to get a hold of a bunch of people. So no one's responding.
And going back to, so my jaw hit the table, you know, reading that one paragraph because it mentions that meeting. Well, I have physical evidence of that meeting happening because I have not only the meeting, well, it's actually the agenda from that meeting, but also these overhead projector copies of, they were transparencies at the time because it was, you know, before current technology, you know, and they used transparencies on an overhead projector, real old school, but copies of those were in the meeting. So I knew what was discussed in the meeting, the subjects, and the gentleman who also we have these notes from had some handwritten notes in with these taken during the meeting, as well as some handwritten notes on his copies of the projector sheets and the copies of the agenda and whatnot. So I have those notes. And but anyhow, so just through me, and all along there was a whole large list of names involved in this over the years, and of which Oak Shannon was definitely one, of which eventually, because of his involvement with NID, so by it being the same group, keep going, obviously Eric Davis, and then John Alexander going back from day one, also being in that original meeting, as well as my friend, as well as Oak Shannon, et cetera. So it ended up tying in, and that just threw me, because here was a second piece of documentation other than the meeting minutes that I have. So why this is so significant to me is I have that, well, again, not really minutes, it's agenda, I should state that correctly. Because right. I have the agenda and the overhead projector notes and handwritten notes from my friend, and I guess I can go ahead and say his name, he is deceased, but it was the late Jack Houck. But I have all that. And so here's a totally separate document with this other huge story behind it that happens to mention that. And I'm like, what? You know, I mean, it actually mentioned it. So here's other documentation about that meeting in the beginning of that group, which I and Randy Coping have been researching for over 28 years, you know. You know, so that just blows my mind. And then I think it's really important for people to understand. Now, are you hearing me really good so far?
Yeah, so far so good. That's why I'm not talking.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Okay, so going on beyond that, I think what is most significant about these documents, it's not a new story. So it's not a breaking news story. It's all new. No.
Oh, God, you broke up again. So call me back. Okay, I love this. It's a breaking news story, but, and then I got to wait for her to get back on the call. I know she'll be here any second now. Let's see what happens. We only have about 10 minutes left in the show. I hope she gets back on here. Oh, maybe he completely kicked her off. Let's see what he's up to. So maybe I need to call her. Let me see what's going on here. Oh, good. I'm getting information from the studio. I'm here now. Okay. It's her, not you. Oh, okay. Thank you, Amad. I really appreciate that. It's her, not you. Okay, guys. So it is Melinda that's the problem. And I'm going to try getting her back. I'm going to add her to the call again. And let's see what we can do here. Let me add her as Melinda. Let me try her phone number. I'm going to add her to the call. Let's see if she answers her phone. Because I think he dumped her off for good this time. So let's see if she answers.
Oh, my goodness. Are you there?
Yeah. Are you answering the phone now?
Yeah, I'm answering the phone. Is that going to be better? Yeah. It came in on my phone. All the other times you called me, my phone never rang, but that time it did.
Okay, good. Okay, so okay. No problem.
So what's
you
the last thing I said?
The last thing you said was that why it's important to you was because it and it's no big deal really, but then you got cut off.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So it's a story that's been out there for a while. The existence of the meeting, the existence of Eric Davis interviewing this gentleman.
Right.
Okay. And the existence of a document. So first off, the fact that the document now shows up to back it all up, okay, that's significant. And thank you to whoever leaked that, you know, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, not that there's so much a cabal, but the existence of the reverse engineering program. And that this guy was shut out of getting any information on it, even though he was at such a level. I mean, if anyone should have been able to, he should have been able to. You know, so when he was shut out of that, and then here we have documentation. Now, we have to go through somewhat of a verification process. I don't think you can verify the document other than going to whatever source that, you know, originally typed it with Eric Davis or whatever. But I don't think we need that. I think we need Eric Davis to say, yep, these are my notes. I wrote it. And, you know, and he's a very credible individual. And I'm grateful to the fact that he had that. And if he leaked it, thank you. And if he didn't, whoever did. But regardless, the reverse engineering program existence that we have documentation, and we've all known it, but how, well, yeah, when has, I mean, there this, really been documentation, well, this goes really back stating
to,
that?
Yeah, this goes back to Mark McCandless and the guy who saw the reverse engineered vehicle at the Edwards,
absolutely.
Wasn't it? Edwards, I can't
absolutely.
Remember where it was.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the fact, like I said, I have a personal connection in that research that Randy and I have done, and my deceased friend providing his family, not him, but his family, providing me those documents. And right. now here, a completely independent source, completely independent documentation saying that that meeting happened and it was the beginning of that group. And why that matters, you know, I know we've got our friends from a private Facebook group that we hang out in. Hi, guys. Hi, everyone. You know, our crew, our gang out there. But I know that a lot of them are listening. And the significance there is that group is the group that was what we now call the aviary. They never called themselves that. They were named that by some researchers in the field.
That's
gave
right.
Code names.
Yeah.
They could talk about them in secret, you know, but okay. But, you know, I don't know that they ever called themselves that, or if they did purely as a joke, I'm sure, but that group, that was really the working group. And then it went forward and it released some TV shows at the time and some exposés, you know, et cetera. They have, it's a long history, but then it goes forward to the creation again, going, you know, way forward into the creation of NIDS, into the involvement with Bigelow, into the forming of BASS, and BASS, you know, forming ATIP, and ATIP being operated not just out of the Pentagon. We keep saying Pentagon. Well, sure. Yeah, that's huge. Okay. But also out of Bigelow, which you keep saying is
the huge
connection.
I know. He's the kingpin.
I agree.
I've been telling everybody that for 10 years at least.
Well, I'm just saying he was absolutely a front for all this.
Mm-hmm.
And what became investigation of metamaterials, the Atom Project, and metals. And
that's
then
right.
that leaks back directly to Eric Davis, not only with his involvement in NIDS, but his continual involvement through BASS, who knows to the degree he was involved in ATIP, but regardless, going forward to his involvement with Halputov and the Atom Project and all the research they've done, both in propulsion, alternate propulsion physics, you know, anti-gravity kind of stuff, and into the materials. And it sounds like that they're getting some of these crash, now Michael pointed this out in his hour with you, them getting some of these crash retrieval pieces may have been through these connections that are mentioned in this document.
Correct.
It absolutely points to that connection of, hey, I'll get you some stuff. Is that where they got it? Is that how they got it? You know, and so they need to address that. Now, that's also why I wonder, did they leak this? Because
yes.
to me, it would make sense to say, here's an explanation of how we got it. You know, without yet plausible deniability, because mm-hmm. there's nothing on there that would point to them leaking it. Now,
that's
that might
right.
be a far reach, but I think we have to right now consider all possibilities until we know more information. And this is just the beginning. I mean, it's been 3 days, you know, it's
yeah.
been, you know, what, 72 hours since all this, since this document came out. And I mean, again, its existence goes back. It has a long history, but not the actual thing and the actual content. So even though there was references to it, the complete content, and again, it affects my research personally because it backs up the existence of those meetings and the formation of the of that group.
That's
and gives
right.
it a new name that I had not heard, the AP-10, Which right. I'm hoping someone will tell me what that means. I'm assuming it's just
Melinda,
a safe assumption.
I've got to cut you off because we have less than a minute left in the show, and I want them to understand something very important. You guys, Melinda has a presentation. It's on MUFON. That's MUFON. Marin, MARIN, that's a county in California, Marin, Sonoma, another county in California, Sonoma, Sonoma is how it's spelled, .com. So you go to MUFONMarinSonoma.com. MUFONMarinSonoma.com and go to the on demand and store, and you will find a presentation that will blow your mind about all of Melinda's research, about all these guys, and what is preceded up to this letter. So I want you guys all to know about it, this Core Secrets UFO transcript from Eric Davis. Melinda explains in her video presentation all about where these people have been, where they've come from, you know, and this kind of tells us where they've been and where they're going to, or where they have been with release of this document. And it all coincides together. So you guys need to understand, Melinda has got a complete education for you there. It's about an hour and a half long, and it'll blow your mind, and you need to go there. It's free. I want you guys to go there. It's a educational video. It's not soft and fluffy. You're going to have to sit there, take notes, and actually use your mind. But once you do, it will blow your mind. Right, Melinda?
That's right. Well, thank you, Lorianne, for sharing that. And anyone can also go to my Facebook page, and I have it there where I've announced this show. Go down in the comments. I put the link there. So the link is there. The link to the original Core Secrets document, the interview that Eric Davis did. Okay. That is all there.
Melinda, we're gone. Okay, thanks everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Welcome to Revolution Radio, where you, the listeners, are in charge. Here at Revolution Radio, we present 48 broadcast hours of news and information each and every day. Revolution Radio never sleeps. Revolution Radio is worldwide and borderless information. Revolution Radio is also commercial free. Revolution Radio is supported 100% by you, the listeners. And that's why we appeal to you to donate and support this station and its expenses. You can support us in many available options like archive subscriptions, our seed pack selections, or even my woodworking store. And we also even have Revolution Radio's swag at the Revolution Radio Zazzle store, in which you can get t-shirts, coffee cups, even a baby onesie. Or you can just plain donate to the cause. We cannot continue without your support, and your support is what helps pay the bills. So please, if you wish us to continue, please stop by our station support page and drop a dime on us. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Safe.
you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation. Your survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents, imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank or all the banks.